Chats from the Blog Cabin.
This is your favorite time of the week with your number one podcast.
Hey, y'all. First of all, let me tell you, Happy New Year. I am so excited that 2024 is here. It's going to be a great year. January is going to be focused on the podcast, is going to be focused on self-care. Self-care manifests itself in many different ways. I know January is normally the time where people make resolutions, and then they end up at the end of January already fall off the wagon and drop their resolutions. But I want to give you something in these next three episodes that you can take something from it and change the way of your life, even if it's just one small, tiny little piece. Now, I have some really three different and exciting interviews coming up. One is a man who talks about how he changed the way he ate, and it changed his whole life. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to follow what he did, but I'm asking you to listen to it with an open mind, because, y'all, it's going to blow your mind. Another one is an author who wrote a very steamy novel, and she's going to be coming on. Actually, that's the episode that you're going to be listening to today, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it. And another one is a woman who created a business during COVID. I mean, because she felt a need for herself and created it so others will enjoy it as well. So I really hope you enjoy the next three episodes. January is all about self-love, self-care, making sure that our needs are met, because, as always, I know a lot of people, the age-old saying, you can't pour from an empty cup, but you have to fill your cup up first, but really still. So today I want to introduce you to Terrace Marie. She wrote the book Black Pearl, and the book is like steamy, but in a way that it's not as steamy. We do have a conversation where she talks about, and I think the funniest part of the whole conversation is when she talks about how when she walked in after writing her book, her aunt whooped her, and which I really think is hilarious. But it's a great story. It's a great way for you to get to know her and know the meaning behind the book. And I will tell you something. You will be shocked when you hear why she wrote the book. I mean, it's, and when you think of the words that she says and what's happened to her during that time in her life when she started writing the book, you will think, okay, and then you'll continue in listening on to her story, and then you'll get it. So I hope you really enjoy Terrace Marie, and I will leave you with that.
Come join Melissa and her guests on the Chats from the Blog Cabin podcast. From North Carolina, this podcast will have you feeling like you've known these folks for years. Listen in as they chat about life, culture, current events, and more, all with a special Southern flair. Curl up with your favorite beverage and get ready to be entertained. Tune in now for a unique experience that's fun and insightful.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Chats from the Blog Cabin. You know, the show where I virtually invite people into the Blog Cabin to chat. Sometimes we chat about life. Sometimes we chat about other things. But today we're chatting about life and the journey of your life and also your book. Welcome, Terrace Marie, to the show.
Thank you so much. And I love that you say y'all, because that's how I always start off everything. I say, hey, y'all. So look, we're already starting off on the wonderful start. So I'm excited.
Yeah, those Southern roots run deep, don't they?
And I'm from the Midwest, honey, but I've been here so long that, you know, I just think all the Southernness is just all inside of me. So yes, ma'am.
So tell us a little about yourself before we get into talking about the book and your journey to the book.
Okay. Well, my name is Terrace Marie, and I'm from Gary, Indiana, born and raised. I now live in Houston, Texas. I've been here about 12 years. I come from the corporate world. So I actually did that for 15 years after college. I was the type of student growing up in childhood that has always been a eager and fast learner. So I've always just loved to learn. I've always had this big imagination. And somewhere along the way, probably as I, you know, began to get older, even though I went to college as a journalism major my freshman year at Florida A&M University, I lost some of that, you know, artistic side of me, I would say. And so then I switched over to the business side. So I lost that side of me. And then I, you know, did the corporate thing, but that was beautiful. I had a wonderful, you know, 15 years of the corporate life. I got married. I have two beautiful children, and now I'm a writer. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, just to give you top side. But yes, I have so much more to say, but that's just to give you a little brief overview.
So how big of a jump was it for you to go from being in the corporate world to writing? Because that's most people, like, they gradually get into it. But what it sounds like is like you made that huge jump.
All right. So we're going to dive right in. So essentially what happened was after I had my son, I started to notice something with my vision. And I know you have children. When you, your vision changes sometimes, right? And it's normal. But what happened to me, my vision did not come back. It actually started to fade. And so I went to an eye doctor, and I got diagnosed with a eye disease called Stargardt's. And what it is a retinal eye disease that attacks your central vision. My peripheral stays intact, but the central part of my visual field vanishes, in essence. But it's progressive. So as it was happening to me, I didn't quite understand, because it started off as just like things were distorted and squiggly lines. And it took a little while for me to get diagnosed. So I was going to different doctors, and it was just that journey in itself was, you know, very difficult, because I know that I wasn't going crazy. I know that something was happening with my vision, but all in all, I was still able to see, because at that time it was affecting just one eye, right? Mm-hmm. So my life wasn't changing much, and except that I was starting to notice some distortion, at which initially it was just diagnosed as a astigmatism. Well, what happened was, as time progressed, my vision started to get worse and worse. And so what happened to me was that I actually woke up and could not read my text messages on my cell phone. And the crazy thing about that is, throughout the journey before I got diagnosed with this eye disease, the first doctor that diagnosed me, he actually, you know, handed me a Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass, and then told me to probably, you know, it'll be a good idea to learn Braille, and then handed me a pamphlet about the disease. And so that was the initial shock, you know, when I was like, oh God, you know. But then I was like, okay, so hold on, rewind. So what kind of surgery can I get? You know, so I started asking those type of questions, and he was like, in the pamphlet, you'll see there's no surgery. So then I was like, okay, well, how do I get no eyeballs? And then he's like, you can't get new eyes. Like, it's part of your DNA and you were born with it. He told me it was a juvenile form of macular degeneration, but I had a late onset, right? So I was always born with it, but I didn't know what it was. And so with the disease, it actually leads to legal blindness. And that's what was happening to me at the time. But again, I didn't realize it at that time. You see what I'm saying? So as we were talking, you know, as you know, to get back to the corporate world, I've always worked in fashion. I was an assistant buyer. Then I went into merchandising, and I've done different things in that arena. And so at the time when I lost my vision, and when I mean I lost my vision, my central, so my peripheral is still intact. When I woke up and couldn't read my text messages, right? I was what was called a merchandise planner. And so my job was to look at numbers. And so very small numbers over years. And I did sales analysis. Okay. So if you can imagine waking up, not being able to read your cell phone, I mean, you're like, everything that was going through my mind. And the crazy thing about that, Melissa, was I remember asking the eye doctor, am I ever going to wake up and not be able to read my text messages? And then he said, no, because it's progressive. Mm. But it happened to me. But that's okay. Okay. So fast forward. So luckily, like I told you, I had, you know, once I got diagnosed and I got a different doctor who was amazing, he was already preparing me for the fact that I was going to eventually lose my central vision. Well, I had a retina specialist in place that I knew I would be able to learn how to see with these new eyes with technology. Okay. Magnification. So I took 12 weeks off work and got occupational therapy and learned how to use different devices in order to maintain my independence and maintain my job and to be able to see. Right.
Right.
Well, when I went back to work, and this is prior to COVID, and I like to say that only to give this company, you know, a little grace, because at that time, working from home wasn't as respected as it is now. Mm-hmm. You know, the culture, sure. The culture wasn't as built, wasn't built as much. And so I had times of the day that I could not work because of restrictions, because of my eye disease. But I would still go home and I would still, you know, do work, but I just had to leave the workplace, you know, because of my eyes. And so anyway, what happened was, it didn't take very long, but that's when I like to talk about an invisible disability, because when people look at me, they can't tell that I have that I'm disabled, right? That I'm legally blind. Mm-hmm. And so when I would get up there, even though I had a huge screen, like when I'm talking to you right now, I have this huge screen in front of me. It's literally this big, and this is what I write from. And then I had like another huge screen here. And this is what I would use in order to present to my job. And then I would have a smaller magnifier. And so this is what I would use. Well, anyway, long story short, as I was in meetings, they would get annoyed because it would take me a little bit longer to find information. And then it just took me down a downhill spiral. Mm-hmm. And so in that, I decided to go on disability because I talked to HR and HR said that we don't even have a job for you here. You can't even work in the mailroom, is what they told me. And so I was like, well, what do I do? And so she said, we have options for you. And then she showed me the disability. Okay. And so that is what happened. So if you can imagine someone who, and in my 15 years of my corporate career in the buying world, I've won lots of awards and I had done lots of things. And I, you know, had accomplished so much in a short amount of time that was my livelihood, if that makes sense. And I had, when I went to occupational therapy, a vision of coming back and being able to share my story with other people about how you can come back, you know, even after losing your vision and to this, your corporate environment. I just had this whole, you know, magical reality in my mind of what it was going to look like when I returned to work, and it wasn't that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is where it comes to when I ended up writing. So I tried to figure myself out, right? So now I'm on disability and I'm like, okay, I went from this six-figure career, and not that it was about the money, but because of where I come from, which was not much, six figures was a lot for me. You know, mm-hmm. It was always a goal of mine. And I always wanted to be in a situation to where I didn't have to want for much, you know, because I grew up happy. I had a wonderful childhood. My grandparents raised me, even though my mother left when I was six. My entire memories of childhood is beautiful, but I knew that I didn't have a lot, and I knew that I wanted to be in a position to be able to afford to do the things that I or my family wanted to do. Okay. Mm-hmm. So going on disability was very humbling for me, And as I tried to find out what it was that God wanted me to do, I tried to do the stay at home, work with, you know, be the soccer mom and do all of those things. But that just isn't me, right? So it took me on a downhill spiral. And I started to just go downhill until I ended up on the floor. And when I was on the bathroom floor, I was really contemplating and hearing for a minute that maybe I had accomplished everything that I was designed to accomplish in this life. And
so
because there were goals I had set. I said, I want to make six figures by the time I'm 30. I had done that. It was, I wanted to have a house, I wanted to have a kids, I wanted to have all do all these things. So I had done these things. And so once I got to the ground, I said, well, maybe this is it, you know. And that was a horrible place to be. I'm gonna just let you know, because I was starting to hear it louder and louder until I heard a voice say, get up. And when I got up, I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize myself. I was dirty and because I was on the floor, I'm assuming. But and just because when you're depressed, I don't think you really clean. Mm-hmm. So my kids were playing, and I mean, this was during COVID. This was in 2020, so you know what was going on. So you imagine pile all of this stuff on top of each other. It took me down. So I heard the get up very clearly, and when I got up, I went and got in the shower, and then I started talking to God, and I just said, God, tell me what to do so that I will not get on that floor. And I promise I will do whatever I can to help as many people as I can not get on that floor. And God said, write a book.
Wow. And
so on Juneteenth, 2020, which I didn't even realize at the time it was Juneteenth, but that in itself is part of life, right? Where these beautiful things happen and they're, you know, placed in order for you to really, you know, succeed and know that it's not just you making these moves because it happened on a Juneteenth, which is, you know, I can say my ancestors were telling, we're backing God up, right? Like, this is what you're mm-hmm. supposed to do. And I started writing and I haven't stopped. And that was 3 years ago. And now I'm a published author. And I didn't question it because I heard the voice loud and clear. I heard him say, write a book. Now, when he told me to write and I start seeing criminals and hearing criminals.
You're like, okay, what kind of book did you want me to write?
I said, now, okay, God. This is not Christian literature. okay, everybody needs to be heard. And I like to write from the viewpoint of the broken or the lost. And it may correlate to what maybe, you know, I was going through and still going through. You know, I'm still trying to find myself because this was only 3 years ago and I've revamped and done a whole lot of things differently. I'm free now. And so with that, that's where my writing came from. So thank you for asking.
Well, that was I love how in depth that you got. I like literally was writing little questions down as you were talking. And then I'm like, oh, got to scratch that out because you mentioned it in it. So I love that. We need to go to a brief commercial break, but we'll be right back.
Okay.
People welcomed me and they knew the pain of the journey that we'd been on because they'd been there too.
Other Parents Like Me is an online community, peer led, for parents with kids struggling with mental health and or substances.
It's a space that's safe. It feels like I can actually share what's going on.
We offer 15 daily support groups per week and live speaker talks on Thursdays, as well as a monthly expert panel.
We also have a resource hub that has a toolkit. This includes over 1,000 articles, podcasts. There's a glossary with the most recent and relevant terms. And we have a directory that's been vetted.
The overwhelming feeling when we're sitting in a meeting and I'm telling my story and I see others shaking their head, tears falling. You know, they understand this roller coaster and they're along for the ride.
Are you ready for an exciting adventure in the world of do-it-yourself projects?
join me on market.live and get ready to be inspired by the DIY show hosted by yours truly, Melissa from Chats in the Block Cabin. This is your chance to unlock your creativity and bring your imagination to life. Imagine the satisfaction of transforming ordinary objects into something extraordinary. Get ready to learn new skills and discover how easy it can be to create something unique that reflects your own personal style. The DIY Show is here to guide you every step of the way, providing you with tips, tricks, and ideas that will make your project a success. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Grab your friends, family, or even your furry companions and tune into the DIY Show on Market.live on Mondays at noon Eastern Standard Time, or you can catch the replay. Together, let's unleash our inner artists and embark on a journey filled with joy, inspiration, and endless possibilities. Get ready for a show like no other, where creativity knows no bounds. See you there. Back from commercial with Terrace. Now, Terrace, you talked about, before we went to commercial, about how God told you to write a book. And then I love how you preference this by saying this wasn't a Christian book, because it definitely was not a Christian book. So tell us about your book, what's it called, and where people can find it and everything else.
All right. So the name of my book is Black Pearl. And Black Pearl is available in audio for my visually impaired and also for my busy folks who and new school and old school folks who actually, you know, are not page turners, because there are some that are not page turners but like to listen, because the audio is amazing. The actors are amazing. So
yeah, I agree.
I will say that I love them. And then you can actually purchase an ebook. And again, it's on the shelves in some Barnes and Nobles and Walmarts and anywhere else where you buy your books.
So let's talk about Black Pearl. Let's talk about the premise behind it, because I listen to it. I'm a very audible one. Like, I can do other things while I'm listening to books. So I feel like, plus two, we talked about this before we came on. You were amazed that I actually read the book.
Yes, I was so excited, because I have done a few interviews and no one had read the book yet. So I am excited to speak to you because you actually read it. So I thank you for that, actually. Thank you so much. It really makes me feel good.
So first thing I want to talk about is the title, because in the annotations at the very beginning, your author's notes, you write about why you titled it this Black Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Black, as I said, Black Pearl is, I wanted to talk about Pearl first, and that is one of the things. So the name Pearl actually came up originally because of the layers of pearls, and I wanted to create a character that all women could relate to, right? And I feel that Pearl, and I mentioned that it is an old school name, but it still is so rich because it has wisdom, all the different layers in order for pearls to, they're made in the oyster, and when they are ready, they, you know, the oyster opens up, but in order for that to happen, they go through a process, right? And mm-hmm. So it is very similar to the character Pearl, in which, you know, she's escaping things, she's, you know, running from things, and it's as if she's in an oyster. And I feel that we, as not just women actually, but even as humans, as we go through things, we have to understand and realize that it's part of the process. But once that oyster opens up, we are a jewel. All of us are jewels. And the beautiful thing about pearls and any jewel or gem is that it increases in value over time. And so I wanted Pearl to represent the soul of a woman, but also a soul of a human, because I think it's something that we all can relate to.
And then you add the Black Pearl on,
which
is very unique as well.
Yes. So Black, then a Black Pearl is actually also a form of pearls. And it is made also in an oyster. It is a little less, or it's a little more rare, excuse me. And actually it has a lot of spiritual meaning behind it. So it heals broken hearts. And as I described to you guys earlier, is that I was very brokenhearted before I started writing. So the name Black Pearl has so many different names and so many different layers, spiritually and also in the story, because Black, mm-hmm. the character Black, he actually has the reasons for his name as well. But the name, you know, reasons his mother gave him for his name. But I just felt there was such beauty in the fact that there were correlations spiritually between, you know, the name, why I was writing, and what was actually happening to me at the time.
Yeah, because I actually highlighted, it says, for healing wounds, because Black Pearl did more than heal me during my spiritual journey. It transferred me into a published author, and typing every word has been my pleasure. And then you say, please kick back and relax and find your inner Black Pearl. And I love that. I love how you kind of open up and say, this is the why behind it. But, and you said, God said, write a book. But like you said, you didn't know you were going to write this kind of book, because it is a little racy at some points.
Say it again.
It is a little racy at some points of the thing.
Yes. But again, you know, I think that one of the things that I had to do in this space that I'm in of freedom is I had to write what was in me. Right. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, art is subjective. And so I think that, and as we talked, that one of the reasons why it's still okay if people don't read my book is because I really want them to get off the floor at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And I want them to find their inner Black Pearl, because my Black Pearl, my healing was in writing, but someone else's healing might be in something else, right? So I think bigger picture, you know, that's why I just kept it moving. I didn't question I questioned it for a second, because when it was time to write, but I didn't question because I could feel it, and the characters were speaking to me, and I knew that what was happening was meant to happen.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you show the arc of these characters that, you know, they're really rough characters to begin with. I mean, they're like, really, like you said, criminals, and they're really rough, but you see the development of their storyline as they got closer together and how they developed into like a better version of themselves.
Yes. And that's what they did. And that's what we hope to see as humans, right? Because we all start from somewhere, but the goal is to become better versions of ourselves over time. As we learn, as we grow, as we love, the freer we become, you know. When I start this, the first thing that happened, this was actually the fourth novel I wrote, to be honest with you, in a very short amount of time. Once I opened myself up, I had so many different characters talking to me, Melissa, it was unreal. So I was just like writing like day in, day out, like I just couldn't stop. And I finished writing this book, believe it or not, in 2020. And this was my fourth novel. I started writing Juneteenth, 2020. That's just to put things into perspective for you as how quickly things were just happening for me. And I'm talking first draft writing novels. But when I started writing Pearl Story, I had to hire a writing coach, and his name is Bruce McAllister. I call him my literary Yoda. Okay. this man connected me to the literary force. I told you I've always been an eager student and a fast learner. And I was like, once I wrote the book, I was like, okay, let's go. But as we talked, right, I come from the corporate world. So honey, I had paragraphs running into paragraphs. I was mixing screenplay writing in with, I mean, I had no clue what I was doing. So that is something that I recommend to any artist out there. Learn your craft, right? And you have to, you know, you first let it come out of you freely, and then you go and you fine tune it and learning the actual craft. And so I found my Yoda, and he helped me, and I chose this story to be the one that I would try to, you know, see what happens in the, if it was going to get published or not, because it was in the 90s. This is when I grew up. So I didn't have to do any research for this book. Mm-hmm. All my other books, with the exception of a spinoff, have more historical context. My next book, Empress Creed, which comes out in 2025 in February of 2025, it is set in the 1930s, right? And these are the type of stories that I love to write as well. It's still a women's crime novel, but it just has a different time period. But Black Pearl in itself, it did not require me to do any research, I'm gonna tell you, because I live the 90s. I love the 90s. I say I'm a 90s girl because I just really became a woman during that time period. And so yeah, that's why I chose that. And I wanted to show the progression of those characters because, like I said, I would hope as humans, that is our goal, that we continue to get better no matter where we start from.
Yeah. Which character was your favorite? Like, you were like, oh, I can't wait to sit down and write this scene. Or, because I noticed, especially if you listen to the audio, you have the actors that they switch out. It's like they have the man talking and then the woman talks and the man talks and the woman talks and everything. But which one, like your character, you were like, oh, I can't wait to see where it goes when you start writing.
Oh my God. That is such a dope question. I can't say who my favorite character is, because like I told you, I have so many characters talking to me. This was just, but I will say this, my favorite scene to write, or my favorite chapter, was chapter 3. And it is when Black and Pearl meet. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I love that chapter so much is because I originally was going to write this story where there was going to be this full out cat and mouse type of situation going on. But for whatever reason, and this is when I realized, like, wow, I am really, like, something is happening to me, like, you know, artistically, because after I finished writing it, I was like, they're in love. I didn't intend for it to happen that way, but it did. And so I don't know if I'm spoiling the story, but I don't think I am, because everybody knows it's a love story. But that was my favorite. That was my favorite chapter to write. And it's because of my intention was it for it to go one way, but something, the characters were moving me in a different way. And so I just decided that, wow, I'm just going to let these characters guide me and just show me and tell me where they want to go. And it was such a beautiful experience. Writing is so wonderful. I'm so grateful for it. Actually, it's healing me. It's making me a better human. And I'm telling you, it's just a great experience. So I will say that chapter 3.
I love that. Now, of course, with anytime you're sitting down and write, most writers have to deal with writer's blocks and other things, but you have the added of being legally blind. So how did you get around that little, mm-hmm. I won't say obstacle, because mm-hmm. it may be a little bit of an obstacle, but it's mm-hmm. something that you kind of had to retrain your mind. So how do you go about writing?
Okay. I love that question. Well, as I told you, I had went through occupational therapy during my corporate, you know, journey, mm-hmm. right? So I had already had devices in place to be able to write, if that makes sense, you know, because I have huge screens, I, you know, have huge fonts, and I taught my daughter how to read with a magnifier. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for me, and where I've had to come, I guess more of the learning happened prior to the writing and adjustment with my vision, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But during the writing process, I didn't feel anything as far as my vision was concerned. If anything, to be honest with you, Melissa, I would say that the fact that my vision had been impaired opened up my senses to other, it opened up my senses, if that makes, so it's like when I began to walk, outside. I walk every day. You know, I can hear things. I can smell things. It's like all the things that were happening to me as I began to write, mm-hmm. I began to look at things differently because I can still see in my peripheral, my central vision. The best way I can mm-hmm. describe it to you is I tell people if they was back to the future when Michael J. Fox is looking at the picture at the end and the family is fading. That's kind of what was happening mm-hmm. with my vision. It was like things that was like right at that I stare at started to fade away into this like vanish hole or something. And it was happening slowly where I was only seeing part of a person's face and part mm-hmm. until, you know, eventually their whole head was gone. So I was like, oh God, like what? I know this person has a head, but where is it? You know? Yeah. So once I was able to get over that, once I got over that part, which was the difficult part, I started focusing on what I could see and understanding that seeing isn't always what's in your visual field. Mm. Seeing can be through touch. Seeing can be through smell. It can be through hearing. You know, I can hear things differently and it helps me with my writing. So from that standpoint, I would say it wasn't a hindrance. Except that some, you know, I only have about 5 words on the screen. So it's like, I gotta go, you know, it's like, I have to, in order to see what I'm writing, it's like, it takes me longer, you know, to scroll across the screen because mm-hmm. of the large font and the large words that I have. So like when I'm trying to like get excited, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's happening next. I wrote it, but I'm, you know, that's just how I am. I get so excited. Uh-huh. I told you, I sometimes these characters are doing things and I just, whatever they're telling me to do, I'm just writing. And then when I go back and reread it, I'm like, woo, okay. You know, and so anyway.
I love that.
So yeah, so anyway, I would say that's probably the, you know, annoying part, but I am in total acceptance of where I am with my visual impairment at this point. Oh, and I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I use dictation in the beginning of my process. So I just talk. I'll say, like, I'm working on a book right now and I'll come up with an idea. And then, you know, I'll just pull out Google. And then I'll say, and I'm looking this way because I'm looking out of my window or something. I'll say, you know, I looked into the sky and the pillows, you know, were fluffier than usual. And the sun was hidden behind the pillows or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it would type it out. And then I'm like, I'm going to use that, you know, or something like that. Or I saw a black butterfly. And I think it was, I was like, it's either a moth or butterfly, something black, but you know, it kind of like flew by me and I was like, that could be a black butterfly. That's cool. You know, so it's like, I'll see these mm-hmm. things and speak it and then it'll type it out and I'll describe it. So that actually has helped me with my writing too.
I love how you said that you like get to going and you start typing, but it's like a hindrance because you just said in 2020, you wrote 4 books. So that you must have been on that typewriter on that computer all the time typing.
It was, and if you want me to be transparent.
Yes.
It wore me out. It wore me down. It tore me down. It tore me down. So that's why, look, you got to take breaks. To all my artists out there and all my people, you do have to, you know, have a balance of self-care because all of that I was not sleeping. And so I had to find the right balance between the writing and therapy. Cause let's not forget, I was on the floor. And I hadn't mm-hmm. forgot that. And even though I heard God, you know, tell me to get up and write a book, I still wanted to make sure that I received help from a professional. So I had my spiritual, I had professional help from my therapist. And so I was going crazy writing, but then now, you know, so it took a while, mm-hmm. But I'm driven. And that's just how I've always been like that since I was a little girl, where it's like, so let's go, you know, but I had to find a balance because I am a mom.
I'm a wife, you know, and I have I drove myself down to the ground, girl. I was over here struggling, y'all. But I got the books done. So, but I will say, you know, going forward, I won't do that again. You know, I make sure that I get enough rest and that I am taking care of myself as I'm on this journey so that I can be healthy enough for myself so that I can continue to spread the word. Because I had got COVID. And if anybody had COVID, yeah. So
yeah,
it was
COVID, rough. Something else.
Yes, yes. So I guess I'm saying all that to say there was beauty in the fact that I had done so much, but also the caveat to that was that it did wear me down. And so the learning lesson going forward is balance.
So what does your family think of your books?
Oh my God, these are such great questions. Okay, so my husband loves the book. My friends, you know, I'm an only child, so I come from, I have what I call a dream team of friends, and they all love it. This is the funniest stories come from my like aunts that raised me and my mom, because even though my mom didn't raise me, she still was had a presence in my life. Mm-hmm. So she's like, whoa, baby. So they used to call me Baby Terrace back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, Baby Terrace is gone. So readers, just so you guys know, Pearl is an aspiring actress who becomes a con artist, and she robs men of their valuables. And so, and Black is a art collector, and he's a kingpin, and she's hired to steal this art piece from him. But there's a love, and there's a lot of other things that happen in the midst of that, because it is a women's crime and an urban, mm-hmm. a steamy romance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I went to visit my aunt, and she gave me a whooping when I walked in the door. She was like, "Baby Terry," you know. but she did say it's tastefully done. You know, it's not too much. It is tastefully done, but they just didn't expect it, because they just knew that I was on the floor, and then God said, "Get up." Yeah. And so when they read the first page, they're like, oh, it's one of those kind of stories. Okay. You know, so, yes, that is probably the fun. Oh, and my friends of mine, you know, that their parents. So, you know, they're like, oh, we had to go get a bourbon and sit down and drink, you know, because we weren't ready. So, yeah, but I have gotten such great responses from all walks of life, from just so many different people. I've received so much love for this novel, and I am just so grateful. I really am, because I didn't know, you know, when you first start writing, I had told my husband, I was like, I don't know what's happening to me, but just give me a year and let's see what happens, right? Mm. And so I had already received in that first year, my first offer, I didn't take that one, my publishing deal. But I had already had a literary agent and my first offer and everything by Juneteenth of 2021. Can you believe it?
Wow.
It was God for Black Pearl. And so, yeah. So now that it's out there in the world, it's been doing really well. And so I thank you for having me. I'm not trying to close us out, but I just want to make sure that I give you your flowers for allowing me to be heard. So thank you.
I love that. Give me the flowers. Let's go back to talking about Black Pearl. Which character did you most identify with in the book?
Ooh, Melissa. Everybody think it's Pearl. I would say it's Black.
Oh, this gives me a whole new spin on the book now. Why do you think that?
I would say it was Black. Because I feel that Black was held or trying to hold himself to a certain type of, to a legacy. And there was something internal that was trying to pull him into something else.
I love that.
But now, he felt obligated to his family and to an expectation that was placed on him from generations before. And so it prevented him from really pursuing something that his passion that was in him. And so I relate to that because, you know, as a young girl, I've always been a lover of the arts, but mm-hmm. I was told that, you know, that's just a hobby. So I never even thought to pursue it.
Oh, wow.
So I relate to him in that.
Yeah. If this was made into a movie, what actors and actresses would you like to play the characters in the movie?
Ooh, okay. So I will say that I'm still trying to find my Pearl.
Okay.
I'm trying to find Pearl. And actually, I'm still trying to find Black, to be honest. There is an actor named Sky Black that I was following and that I continue to follow. And he's relatively new on the scene, and he's married to a beautiful woman named KJ Smith. And some of the things that I've seen in his interview reminds me of some of the correlations between his story and Black story. And so when I close my eyes and think of who I would want to play him, and I don't know him, but I would say just based on some of his interviews, I see him mm-hmm. playing the character Black. And again, I'm still looking for Pearl.
Wow. And that says a lot, the how complex she is, because there's a lot of great actresses out there.
I know. There's tons. But wow. I'm still looking. You know, it's something that hits you, you know, where it's like, oh, that's her, you know. And so I'm still looking. But for Black, the character Black, like I said, there's an actor, an artist named Sky Black. And if you look him up and you listen to some of his interviews and you watch his interactions with his wife, you will understand why I feel he would be a good Black in Black Pearl.
And now you're giving me homework to do.
Yes.
I'm going to look him up as soon as we get off.
Yes. Look up his interviews and just see what he says and how he was raised by his grandmother, and the women in his life are instrumental for his growth. And, you know, he's adores his wife and family. He's a family man from just the way that he speaks highly of the people in his life. I think he would play a good actor, and he's a good actor. He's done some wonderful things, and I've seen him talk about how he does the research to play different actors, and so mm-hmm. I feel he would really do Black justice by researching him and playing him very well.
That is awesome. Now our time is almost up. Before we talk about where people can find the book at again and where mm-hmm. people can find you, okay. I always ask anyone that I interview one last little nugget they want to share, whether it's something that we talked about in the interview or something you felt like we didn't touch on, but you mm-hmm. want people to remember the interview so they can go back and say, oh, yes, yes, I get it. Is there one nugget for you?
Okay. That one nugget I would say is always be true to yourself. Mm. Be true to who you are. The worst thing that you can do in this human life is not be true to who you are. So free yourself by being who you are.
I love that. That's such a great nugget to share. I mean, wow, that was so profound.
It's the truth. Because once you free yourself, you'll see so many doors will open. Your heart will open. Your soul will open. You'll be able to smell things different, see things different. Everything will look different to you because you're free.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, the book is Black China. I mean, Black Pearl. Why did I say China?
I'm not sure.
I'm thinking of Kardashians. Sorry.
Black Pearl.
Yeah, Black Pearl.
Yes, ma'am.
And where can people find it at?
So you can go to my website at www.terrismarie.com. And you can find the book Black Pearl, BlaquePearle, anywhere where books are sold. Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, Target, Audible, audiobook. I don't want to leave anyone out. But yes, you can find it anywhere where you purchase your books.
And I love how you put, I think it was on your site. I've been reading so many authors, but you put a locally independent Black bookstore too.
Oh, absolutely, honey. If you are in Houston, Texas, Kindred Stories, if you are in Atlanta, Georgia, The Bookworm, and I'm not for sure of any of the other ones, but it is available in some of the your local bookstore. So please take a look, ask them if Black Pearl is available. And if not, tell them to order it, honey, because it's worth it.
It is worth it. It is a good read. Yes, it is a little spicy, like you said, at some points, but I think it adds to the characters of the story and their storyline and the development of the characters.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you for reading it. And thank you for spending the time talking to me today. It's been such a pleasure.
And thank you, Terrace, for coming on and for agreeing to be interviewed on this podcast, YouTube, whatever I call it.
Yes, you're doing great work, honey. Thank you for allowing us to be heard.
Yes. So, guys, I will put in the show notes everywhere where you can find Black Pearl. I said it right that time. And Terrace Marie, which I absolutely cannot wait to see and what you do next, because like I said, this book is phenomenal. It is spicy. I'm putting that back out there then, that little caveat, but I think it makes the story work so much better.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You have a wonderful holiday. Thank you for having me.
You too. And guys, we will see you on the next chat from the Blog Cabin. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Chats from the Blog Cabin.
Hit subscribe
and don't miss the next episode.